Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust. Welcome to the future. This is Editing Bob here with a podcast exclusive interview that didn't make it on the actual live stream. With me is the producer, my friend Norm is here. Hi, Norm.
Hi, Bob. How's it going?
It's going. Welcome to the future.
Ooh, look at those flying cars.
And those robots everywhere.
Like a jetpack. Wait.
Well, no, the robots are like Terminators. They're here to kill us all.
Dun, 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 dun. No. Oh. So this is an actual segment, guys, that we didn't do because someone wanted to get an interview like after the fact. And we are on holiday break starting next week. So there won't be an actual live episode. There will still be an episode of the podcast, but I digress. And because he was lazy and didn't say anything until way after the fact, is one of my best friends in the world. You may remember him from episode one of the podcast, Jacob Bartlett, the soon to be not president of the Circle City Ghostbusters,
the lame duck president.
Yes. It's, by the way, guys, it's not like he was booted out or anything. He just served his full term and his charter does not let him rerun after his term is up.
I could have rerun, but I would have been the vice president again, and I'm simply too tired to do that. So
that's understandable.
I need a little time off of leadership, but I'll probably be back.
That's good. You take a break. Breaks are important.
Mm-hmm.
So today you – oh, go on.
I was not saying anything. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, yes. So today you wanted to come on specifically and talk about your new project that just came out that Norm and I have both incredibly been raving about.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to win the Oscar for the greatest Ghostbusters fan film ever made.
It's not an Oscar category, but it might win a bobble.
Bobble?
A bobble?
A bobble.
Now let me ask a question about the bobbles.
Wouldn't it be a Muffy?
Shut up, Norm.
Are the bobbles bobbleheads as well?
They are. They're actual bobbleheads of me.
Oh, cool. I can put that on the
gold-plated
bar, and as I'm getting into a wreck, as I gaze at it longingly, I can think about how much I love you.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. But joking aside, guys, I mean that full-heartedly. This was probably my favorite fan film I've ever seen done. And that's saying a lot because there's some really good Ghostbuster fan films out there, so I'm not dogging on any other one. It's just this one's really good. So, Jacob, tell us a little bit about your new fan film that just came out.
All right. Well, Nick would probably get mad at me if I didn't say it's a fan series at this point, because we've got 6 episodes on YouTube. But this is our Christmas special, and it's called Christmas with the Krampus. So you can kind of imagine what we're up against in this one. And it was a lot
Rudolph,
yeah.
Rabid Rudolph.
Rabid Rudolph, you know, that should have been one of the suggestions that we had in the bar scene. But yeah, it's, you know, what happens when there's trouble at the holiday season and it's looking like some guy with hooves and a Christmas motif is in town here in Indy. Who gets called but us? And we, not me this time. I don't actually go out of the firehouse for this one. I did direct this one, so I did not have a large role in it, but so the team goes out and investigates and runs into some characters along the way.
Yes. You have this one written so differently than I think I've ever seen a fan film presented, which was the human aspect of like relationships in this film and how people relate to one another. You want to talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah.
In your writing process.
You know, I just kind of thought about it as a workplace comedy a little bit. I was watching a lot of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Parks and Rec, and I mean, obviously everyone's watched The Office, but yeah, those two shows in particular, I just love, and I love Parks and Rec because it also takes place in Indiana, but you know, just the way that those characters bounce off each other and that they have such distinct personalities, that, I mean, that goes all the way back to the original Ghostbusters as well, that you have these four guys and they're all different in their own ways, and the way they interact with each other is kind of what drives the comedy. So that's really the approach I took when making the first draft.
Norm, do you have any questions for Jacob?
No, was I supposed to?
I just wanted to see your reaction because no one ever asks you if you have questions.
No.
All right, back to me then. How long did it take you guys to shoot the project?
Oh, we shot it over. I mean, I guess technically we started shooting it last year. Last year at Christmas time, Sean and I hopped in his Ecto and drove to this neighborhood in Indy called Windermere, where I don't know if it's in their HOA rules or what, but all the houses down the line are decorated. They have lights on their trees in their easements. And I've known about it for a little while now, and I was just like, man, this place is gorgeous. Let's shoot an Ecto driving down it. So we shot that with the plan to shoot the other stuff in the summer that we would need. And ultimately, it was about 3 full days of shooting. We shot at a bar. We shot at an actual firehouse. And then we shot at another house here in my neighborhood, which is where the victim of the Krampus is from. So, yeah, it was pretty fun, but a few long days because we tried to cram as much into single days as we could because you know, we didn't have like a production schedule or budget. So
that in the editing process does take a hot minute for something like this, correct?
Yeah. This was edited by Alex Newdorf, who's a newer member of our group. He just graduated college. So Alex, if you listen to this, congrats on that again. But he went to school for this stuff. So he's been editing it ever since. And he did all the effects himself as well. And I think he did an incredible job.
Knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
I tried to offer assistance where I could, but, I mean, he had most of it in the edits. We had a few back-and-forth drafts, and, yeah, it was a lot of his hard work and dedication, and, I just totally appreciate it.
That's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. It's you can tell that there was a lot of like a lot of love put into this project. And at the end of the day, a fan film is just that. It's a labor project. It's a labor of love. Yeah. And cause you know, it's not canon in universe by any means, but you know, the fans recognize it. And, you know, especially the fans that are like into the community really pick up on when you go the extra couple miles, you know, there's the milk scene, which I won't talk about here. But like that has such a good touch to it that it's really good.
Yeah. And you know, that, what you're referring to, like, yeah, well, I won't say specifically, but that wasn't even in the script. And so this whole thing was such a nice collaboration and so many different people brought so many different ideas to it. And, that was really spectacular because there were things that would happen when we were on set and I would just be like, that's great. Use that. Or, this is such a good idea. We should do it like this, or you know, whatever. So, it was definitely just a pleasure to make.
So, other than that, where can people watch this film at?
Well, they can watch it on YouTube. They can search for Circle City Ghostbusters and find our channel. You can watch that and all of our episodes. There are some minor references to the older ones in there, but nothing so major that you would be completely lost watching this. Really tried to make it a standalone Christmas special, like the ones that I liked watching as a kid from various TV shows. But yeah, YouTube, Circle City Ghostbusters on YouTube. It's also on our new Facebook page because someone decided that we shouldn't have one. And we had to make a new one here. And it is Circle City Ghostbusters. You have to put a space between Ghost and Busters, but that's where we are. If you find one without a space, it is a scam page that was made 2 years ago that for some reason Facebook's okay with. So there's that.
My word. I guess there was a statement there made somewhere. What do you think, Norm?
I think so, yeah.
Meta, if you're watching this or listening to this, I should say.
Fix it. Also, people can always find all the information they need about any Ghostbusters franchise on whoyougonnacall.org.
Excellent. Now, Jacob, this episode's going to be coming out before Christmas Eve.
It's already
out. So it'll be coming out the 23rd is when this episode's slated to come out.
This episode, I know you're talking about.
This episode, this is going to be attached to the episode that's coming with it. It's okay. Like a package deal. Mm-hmm. So do you have any holiday wishes for the audience that you would like to give?
My holiday wishes are simply that you guys all have a great time and put my fan film on loop in the background of your holiday festivities, and you'll have the best Christmas ever.
Norm, do you have any holiday wishes for the audience?
Sure. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and I hope that everybody has a great holiday. Spending time, you get to spend time with your family and your loved ones, and enjoy it while you can.
Yep, and then my words are, guys, whatever you're doing, just be happy and do your best. That's all I got. All right, folks, now you're actually going to hear the real Why We Bust part of the episode. This has been Bob from the future, and we'll see you next time. Boodaloo, boodaloo. This is like a Scooby-Doo transition. Boodaloo, 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 boodaloo. All right, you could kill the recording, Norm.
One of these days, Eric, we're going to get some theme music. We've talked about it. I think we even have some preliminary stuff picked out, but we'll get it going. I think it's because everyone's having more fun making up their own.
Yeah. Just make it a contest.
There you go.
Maybe we should. Maybe we should.
Do you know how many people would want to just go out there and be creative with it?
You know, I asked the Bobby from Alessi if we could use a version of Saving the Day, which he passed along to his publisher. But
you could do that. You could just be like, "Why We Bust."
Yeah, I mean, we could figure it out. He's got the karaoke version of it available, but let's see. Well, I guess we could get started. We don't have anybody hopping in the chat just yet, do we?
Not yet.
Can wait a minute or two.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
But we're going to do This Week in Ghostbusters History today. Hey, Tony, thanks for hopping on. And so you guys, James and Eric, are welcome to chime in at any point with any thoughts and anything about what's going on in history.
Mm-hmm.
There
was a little bit of history. It's a tiny little bit of history. But
Hold on, we save it. Yeah, save it for this. Why don't I start the show? Tony's here so we can get going. But let's see here. Hey everybody, welcome. The Windy City Ghostbusters are excited to present the preeminent show focused on the charitable side of ghostbusting. We're meeting the incredible people from all over the world that dress like khaki-covered exterminators, lugging around 30-pound magic backpacks, all in the name of putting smiles on faces and helping people. And we're going to find out exactly what makes them tick, as Dr. Benkman would say, and seeing if they can answer the question, why we bust. Now, I am your host, Patrick Calvert, and joining me is, I like to call him the central nervous system of the Windy City Ghostbusters, ensuring we're broadcasting loud and clear over Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. And as of just a week or two ago, all of the major podcast apps like Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher, you can find our shows posted there weekly. And it's our producer, James Norman. James, how are you?
I am doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. What's going on?
Just really getting in the thick of the Christmas season here at the Calvert House. We've got, you know, yesterday I spent a lot of time decorating sugar cookies with family, and today I've even got, I know Bob says it's not canon, but I've pulled out my festive beverage of choice from Revolution Brewing, Fismas, seasonal red ale. And
only drink if you're over 21, kids.
Yes, if you're over 21. And otherwise, I'm drinking Coke Zero. But so, yeah, trying to get as much Christmas in as I can. Tomorrow, I took the day off of work, so my family will go up to Macy's and the Walnut Room and
nice.
Chris Kindle Market, kind of have a little Christmas day in the city. But yeah, so trying to do what we can. And as everybody that's watching us can see, and a few of you have heard him chime in a little bit, we have a big time guest here today. We have Eric Christensen from the Moogly Fan Club joining us. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to do this.
Yeah, we are excited to have you, and we'll talk, you know, all about the Moogly Fan Club, kind of your history with Ghostbusters, and your charity work, which focuses with Feeding America at the moment. Am I correct there?
Yes, sir.
So we'll talk all about that, but a little bit of housekeeping that we have. Welcome to the show. Bob is in the chat there, you know, housekeeping. The last event for the Windy City Ghostbusters is coming up this weekend on December 15th. It's going to be a brunch with Santa and the Ghostbusters at Wonderverse at the Oak Brook Center and Oak Brook Mall here in outside the Chicago area. And that is going to be our big fundraiser for the Windy City Ghostbusters toy drive. So bring an unwrapped toy, get to meet real live Ghostbusters and a real live Santa Claus, all at the Wonderverse. And I hear their brunch is pretty fantastic.
The food is there. Good. I like
so. So many different reasons to get over there. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, if you're a Christmas fan, if you're a food fan, head on out December 15th to Sony's Wonderverse. You get to play all the different interactive games based on the Sony IP, from Ghostbusters to Bad Boys and Zombieland, and much, much more. Stop by the Ghost Trap, the Ghostbusters themed speakeasy, and play some Ghostbusters virtual reality games while you're there too. Drive the Ecto, bust some ghosts, trap some ghosts. Lots of fun over at the Wonderverse. So, also, real quick, I keep forgetting every week, James, I have this here in front of me and I never say it, but anyone that is interested, anyone in the Ghostbusters community that's interested in speaking with James and myself, please reach out to us via Facebook, and we'll send you a link to sign up to be a future guest on the show. We're happy to have folks, and we try and book interviews a few months in advance. So if you have something imminent that you need to share with us, you know, let us know. We can try and work something out, but just keep that in mind as well, you know, we're trying to get things set up a few months in advance. But so it's the main housekeeping stuff. Now that's out of the way, I do, as people are kind of joining in, I do like to do This Week in Ghostbusters History. And every week I think, oh, there's not that much going on, and then I wind up filling a page full of full of things that pop up. A lot of it is movie releases, but there's a few other things going on as well this week in Ghostbusters history. So James, Eric, before we get to you know, diving into Eric's history with Ghostbusters, you're both welcome to chime in at any point during Ghostbusters This Week in History between December 8th and December 14th. What has happened in that time? And in 1979, Dan Aykroyd was part of Steven Spielberg's infamous movie 1941. It was released on December 14th, 1979. I still have not seen that. I don't know if either of you.
Long time ago.
I've seen it. I've watched it like twice. To be honest with you, I can never remember much of that movie.
Okay, yeah, that's on my list, but I have not made
Do you ever feel like, because you love Ghostbusters so much, you have to see all the movies that everybody else was in? Like, I have to see all of Harold Ramis's movies, all of Bill Murray's movies. Is that you got a checklist for them?
I think they just get a pass. You know, if it's between, you know, something with people I've never heard of or a Ghostbuster, I'm picking a Ghostbuster. I think that's how I've stumbled into things. And I always would love just stumbling into an Ernie Hudson cameo, you know, in a movie. All of a sudden there's Winston right there. But
he loves Miss Congeniality, man. One day I just want to go up there, all the Ghostbusters, and to have a copy of Miss Congeniality. Here you go.
I remember always being surprised to see him when they would play Airheads on Comedy Central constantly in the 90s. And
Harold.
And was Harold in that too?
Yeah. He plays the fake record executive that they try and get him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I knew that. I should have known that. I shouldn't have had to have been reminded of that. But yeah, I don't think I'd put together what a mini Ghostbusters reunion that cast had in it. But we spent more time talking about Airheads than we did 1941. But if anybody has a take on 1941 as to why it needs to be seen, throw that in the chat. Other than the fact that Dan Aykroyd is in it, but you know, coming up in 1988. Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman were competing at the box office, and Dan Aykroyd put out the movie My Stepmother is an Alien, December 9th, 1988. Haven't seen that one, but Ivan Reitman put out a movie that became, you know, iconic in the 80s, Twins, with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was quite a hit for Ivan Reitman there, and putting that out, 6 months before Ghostbusters 2. So nice little run for Ivan there at the end of the 80s. Let's see. Next up, December 11th, 1998, is a Bill Murray movie. Do you guys want to render a guess as to which movie of Bill's came out in 1998, end of the year?
Rushmore?
You got it, James. Oh, Rushmore.
Okay. Didn't even have my hand on the buzzer for that one.
Yes, that was one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites.
Oh,
and launched the careers of a lot of folks. So that was out December 11th, 1998. And hello, Terry from the Sioux Empire Ghostbusters. Welcome to the chat.
Hi, Terry.
And December 14th, 2012. This was one I didn't even remember happening. And I wish, it's one of those things that you just wish was filmed, and I don't believe it was, but Jason Reitman staged a reading of Ghostbusters at the LA County Museum of Art on December 14th, 2012. And needless to say, it had a star-studded cast. And if you guys want to, do you guys remember this at all? Do you want to make a stab who they got as the main four out there? So no. We had Phil LaMarr from Mad TV was Winston, Jack Black as Ray,
okay,
Rainn Wilson as Egon, and Seth Rogen as Peter Venkman.
Oh, the mythical casting.
Yeah, that was the main four there. Kristen Bell played Dana Barrett. Mar Whitman, who was Anne from Arrested Development, she played Janine. Kevin Pollak was Walter Peck. That's one of my favorite castings of the group right there. And Paul Rust was Lewis. I'm blanking a little bit on who Paul Rust is. I know he's a comedic actor, but I'm blanking on what he was in. And Paul Scheer from, he's been in everything. But one of my favorite podcasts, How Did This Get Made? But Paul Scheer played the mayor. So that was kind of the main cast there, December 14th, 2012, with Jason Reitman's stage reading of Ghostbusters. He said he used the last draft shooting script, but had to go back and kind of re-enter all of Venkman's lines, as Bill Murray did so much ad-libbing. There wasn't much that was on the page that actually would have been recognizable to an audience. And Tony, I don't think it was filmed. I haven't done a lot of deep digging, but I think that was some of the appeal and why some of the big names would participate was it could kind of fly under the radar.
That was the one question I had as you kept going, like, is this, did somebody record it? Did somebody record it?
Yeah, I want to say awesome. For other similar, you know, script readings, I have not found video, so I didn't do a deep, you know, dive into this. So if anybody does have video of it, please share it. We'll put it on our social medias. Yeah, that just, what a fun night that would be to watch mm-hmm. everyone's take. Rainn Wilson as Egon was one that I did not see coming when I was going through the cast list there. And December 12th, 2016, Bill Murray golfed with President Barack Obama to promote the Affordable Care Act. They set up a little putting exhibition in the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. And that happened on December 12th, 2016, as President Obama was getting ready to leave office. And on December 14th, 2018, IDW announced that they would be putting out a 4-issue Ghostbusters comic nice. That has, you know, a lot of love within the community. And James, Eric, have either of you checked out that IDW comic? I have not.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one.
All right. I need to get on that.
They're fun.
It starts out a little rough, but it gets really good.
Okay. So the initial 4 looks like they were announced this week in 2018. Yep. But Eric, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I was just going to say there's a ton of Easter eggs. I mean, like you said, the stories were a little rough at the beginning, but eventually you find yourself appreciating the art so much. They did such a good job art-wise, and then the story picks up, and then they had all the spin-off ones after that, the Ninja Turtles, all that stuff.
Yeah, I hear that. You find yourself just kind of combing through it for all those little Easter eggs. And I recall hearing some of the feedback on the Dark Horse comics was, you know, the IDW art was so beloved that it was a bit of a shock to get used to the Dark Horse comics there. But I'll have to go back and check those out when things get a little bit less hectic around the Calvert House, and reading quietly is an activity that can be accomplished here. But on December 9th, 2019, it was the first trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife dropped, and it was a long wait until the opening day. But as I've been doing this segment, it feels like every week has been a slow trickle of additional Afterlife information coming out to the public. But man, that was if I recall, I think I had to like sneak watching it at work. Putting getting the screen as small as I could in the corner just in case somebody popped over my shoulder. But that was, I had to watch it as soon as I could. And
absolutely,
immediately.
And it still didn't feel real, not until I was sitting in the theater with the thing rolling in front of me. But that does it this week in Ghostbusters history. Oh wait, I missed one.
I got it one was, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, it's a small one, but I think it's pretty good. So I was combing through my memories from today on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Today was the day that the Plasma Series 2 in the box hit 20,000 backers, doubling what they needed, the initial 10,000. Which is funny. I just thought, because 2 in the box is such a fun subject at the moment with the shipping and all that good stuff.
A lot of people on pins and needles. Yeah, I haven't gotten my shipping label notification, but I think the Chicago area was not the first batch to get put out with the Proton Pack. So I'm okay. We've all waited this long. It'll get here. I think they want the warehouse cleared out before the end of the year themselves over there. But
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I got a bell on me. No, it's funny because my Hasbro, the Wands, they shipped out of some southern suburb not too far away from me. I think Lamont, maybe, was the initial shipping point for my tracking.
Yeah, I want to say when I ordered the Wands, it was arrived the next day. It was a very quick turnaround there. But yeah, these are all still coming from Chino, I think. But yeah, I'm excited. I know my wife is not excited to have another big Hasbro box up here and to distract me, but I'm looking forward to that one. And it looks, you know, everyone seems to be having fun with the PKE doing all the I'm blanking on the word, the electro EMF. The EMF detection. Yeah, so that's going to be fun. But yeah, 20,000, that it went a little bit faster than the than the Ectos, yeah. As far as hitting double, its numbers.
It's nuts.
But yeah, that'll be coming out anytime now, and I've not even been bothering really double checking mine. I figure I'm going to see 1,000 Facebook posts or messages on GB fans of people when the majority of those labels start getting created. Yeah. But yeah, it's an extra holiday for Ghostbuster fans when the HasLab release days and shipping days get out here. But so my last one.
Hydrate.
Well, here we go.
Hydrate.
Little Fistmas.
Did we forget to tell Eric about Hydrate?
Oh, yes. Sorry about that, Eric.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Nice too. I mean,
yeah, we'll do two.
Ask one of your kids to run one in for you. But
no, the door's locked. It's fine.
December 14th, 2006, Harold Ramis directed an episode of The Office. It's one of my all-time favorites. Benihana Christmas was on December 14th of 2006. It was so cool that he was a part of that show. I know you're reading Violet Ramis's book. I think he was getting more and more disillusioned with directing on the big screen and was enjoying doing things like The Office and working with those groups. So another, you know, Rainn Wilson twice brought up this week in Ghostbusters history. But so December 14th, 2006, Harold Ramis directs one of my favorite episodes, Benihana Christmas. Do not try a Nagasaki an egg Nagasaki or
yeah.
What's it?
Yeah.
Don't try it. Tried it once. That's all. It's enough for everybody. But yeah. Anyhow, so that's all I've got this week in Ghostbusters history. One day I'll have a jingle for it. It'll play us in. It'll play us out. But here we go. I think we've got a good audience here following us today, and I want to make sure we have plenty of time to officially kind of dig in on your history with Ghostbusters, Eric, and what you're doing today to help out the greater good of the community around you. And are you from Chicago originally? Are you born and raised
in
Chicago?
I was born in Chicago. I grew up in Elmwood Park, which is about 20 minutes away from O'Hare, a little bit less than that. And I've been in Illinois the whole time, kind of on the suburbs, just kind of skidding along the city.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar to me. And so coming from Chicago, you have been familiar with the Windy City Ghostbusters group a lot, but when did you kind of first start to hear about Ghostbusters having, you know, franchises and people, you know, getting involved in the community on behalf of Ghostbusters?
So it's kind of a two-part story. So when I was in high school, like a sophomore in high school, this is like 2002, I became aware of the Ghostbusters.net page, the original one, that had all the archives and all that great stuff on it. And I slowly started to see people dress up, different group logos, things like that. Eventually, that would dissipate in my memories. And then it was around 2016 that I really became aware of it. It was actually Answer the Call that got me back into the fandom. I mean, I was born in 87. So I didn't see the movie until much later. Real Ghostbusters was the first for me. And that's kind of what I based everything on. I'm not sure if I actually remember the first time I saw 84, but ever since then, it's just been always at the back of my head. I mean, I've been a Ghostbusters collector since I was 7 or 8. I still got a few of the figures. I still got my plush Kenner Stay Puffed from when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
He's got this hot chocolate stain on his foot. You know,
and that was... That was a sizable plush,
if I
recall. A friend of mine had that. I was jealous because it was much more closer to scale than the smaller Kenner. Rubber Kenner mm-hmm. figure.
Yep, got a lot of play out of it. But eventually, like I said, Answer the Call brought more attention to the fandom than I think they had intentionally intended to. But I finally got to see people doing the cosplay, doing the charity work. And I know in the past I had seen Windy City, or didn't know you were Windy City at the time. I had seen Ghostbusters mm-hmm. in the city parades, like Thanksgiving, St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was really cool. You know, when you're a kid and you're growing up and stuff, until the internet got bigger, you don't really know how many fans are in your area.
Yeah.
You know, if it told me 10 years ago or 15 years ago, that you have a state that's full of Ghostbuster fans, just like you, I would have thought it was crazy.
Yeah. And now you came in a few years and I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off mid story, but I want to just ask what your experience was coming in at, I was 83. So I was perfect age for Ghostbusters 2 when it came out, but you kind of got into it as things were heading into a drought. Did you have friends that were Ghostbusters? Were you kind of alone on the Ghostbuster fandom scale, you know, growing up? But, you know, how did you navigate that time?
No, it was definitely just a solo kind of mission, I guess. You know, we had Power Rangers, we had Ninja Turtles, we had Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
We had all the big ones back then, and they kind of took over everything. And Ghostbusters was more like in the back. It never went away, but... You know, every once in a while, I'd come back to it here and there.
Right.
You know,
it was hard to keep it front and center. There wasn't anything to kind of feed that fire.
That's right. Actually, one thing I'll never forget is when, do you remember Disney Adventures, the magazine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was this episode or one issue that had upcoming TV shows in it. And there's this square about this big, and it's just a No Ghost logo. And it says Extreme Ghostbusters comes.
Oh.
So I think if I remember right, Extreme came out in 97, I think, somewhere around there. So I was around mm-hmm. 10. And that was my first time getting to see, like, really experience toys on the shelves a little bit, mm-hmm. gaming toys, you know, the proton packs, buying them. You know, I had had the Kenner stuff, but this was all new.
Mm-hmm.
So just it's nice that I actually kind of had 3 or 4 gaps.
Yeah,
but you're right. There was a big dry spell after 2, that was just filled with rumors and fake trailers.
Yeah, and that's that's where I I had to have it. I view it as like a breakup story of when my one friend that would play Ghostbusters with me just kind of had to sit me down and say, "There's a thing called Ninja Turtles." And that's what I want to play now, not Ghostbusters. And I was like, well, I can't lose this friend. I got to get on board with this Ninja Turtles thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so Ninja Turtles came along, and then WWF and Power Rangers kind of came in. Extreme Ghostbusters, I didn't hear about it until I went to the Kane County Toy Fair, and there were a bunch of early models of the Extreme Ghostbusters toys on display there, and that was just blew my mind. I was not prepared and had no idea that there was something being cooked up for that. And they had a pretty cool Ecto-1 toy.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody remembers the Extreme Ghostbusters version, but
it was fragile, but it was cool.
Yeah.
Most importantly, they finally made a Sam Hain.
Yep.
I only got the Ecto. I was feeling very self-conscious as a freshman in high school, as far as where I was at in my toy buying stage, and so I got the Ecto, but I didn't do much more on the Extreme Ghostbusters collecting. But that was a show I wish it had lasted a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But definitely was. I'm glad that was there to help carry you through a dry patch like that. And you mentioned the cartoon being your gateway into Ghostbusters there. When you you know, when you think of kind of your favorites, does the cartoon stand out, or has the adult in you kind of moved towards favoring 84,
89? Well, I have an order. If you'd like, I can tell you my order for...
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, for real Ghostbusters, I think the stories, I'll never forget Murray the Mantis. That's the flip side with the People Busters, two of my favorite things. But with the movies, it's 84, then Afterlife, Ghostbusters 2, Frozen Empire, and then 2016. And there's no knocking on any of that. I love them all. That's the one thing I will say. I love Ghostbusters. I love the logo. If the logo's on it, I support it as much as I can, you know, realistic about it. But, you know, like 2016 came out. I loved it. I was, again, I was buying toys in the store again for the first time in God knows how long.
Yeah.
You know, all the things that came after that. It was just such a fun time.
Yeah. And, you know, you have Afterlife a little bit. You have Afterlife before 89.
Well, I have, yeah. Afterlife is my number two.
You're number two. What about Afterlife really hit you to put it above the original, or one of the two originals?
So, I mean, I obviously the first one is still number one to me. But when I look at as a, just a pure sequel, one thing I like about Afterlife is if Ghostbusters 2 didn't exist, Afterlife could have just picked up the pieces and just gone with it. There's Gozer, there's Egon, everything. It honestly could have just moved Ghostbusters 2 to the side, and we still could have had the movie. I love that about it. I love the callbacks that they did to it, the little Easter eggs here and there, book stacking, Twinkies, glasses. And I liked the introduction of the kids, the Spangler family, you know, and taking a character that, you know, we all love with Egon and really expanding on him, because aside from the couple of quirky quotes that we have from him, you know, the spores, molds, and fungus, stuff like that, he really doesn't say a lot in the movie. So I like that we take a step back and just explore him a little bit.
You get some new dimensions with Egon.
Yes. And, you know, the tribute to him at the end of the movie, it just, that scene. Oh, it was hard for me when I saw it in theaters. The first scene, I was like, I had a tear going down my eyes the first time.
Same.
And then at the end of the movie, I'm sitting there like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just those two things I thought were, when Phoebe's, you know, blasting, and you see that hand, the camera's panning, and that hand shows up. I don't think any of the other movies gave me a moment like that.
No.
Yeah.
And so, I think they stayed away from emotion to a certain degree. That wasn't cool, and that wasn't SNL.
Yeah.
I mean, and that wasn't, you know, that style.
This one isn't as much. I love that it's a comedy horror movies for all of them, but I like that this one had a little bit more of a serious tone, you know, especially with Gozer and the terror dogs. You know, they were a little, you know, in 84, they're a little clunky. They're bashing into walls. They're coming through couches and stuff, but
they're certainly more formidable
in
Afterlife there. And that it's an interesting decision that they made to give Egon more backstory, is I know they took out a lot of the Janine Egon romance in the first movie because they just didn't want Egon being more human, I think is kind of how Harold Ramis, you know, explained it, to keep him more emotionally just absent, from a lot of that. And the way they set up all the returns in Afterlife, for anyone on the, we're interrupting. So anyone who's listening to the podcast, there are three bearded men talking right now between James, Eric, and myself, and one of our viewers just said, I love the show, it's a perfect evolution of beard growth. as we do have three different stages of beard length going.
James
here
is trying not to move his head. He said, I don't want to show it off.
I did just think about how I need to get this thing trimmed down, but you know, the cold weather I like to have the thicker beard for the cold weather. So well done, Polar Knights. Well done. But I don't even remember where we were. But long story short, Afterlife, there is, yes, that's one that just continues to grow on me every time. Mm-hmm. Every time I watch it, and it does have a different feel. So I think I want to pay attention to parts of Afterlife where I can throw Ghostbusters 2 on in the background and I don't need to be paying close attention the entire time. But yeah, Afterlife is that it's become the new Field of Dreams, where if you need to pull a tear out of me, at the end,
there you go.
It's going to happen every time. But, so Eric, I kind of let me pardon my big detour I had you take there. But so your 2016 comes around and you kind of refamiliarize yourself with the fandom. Take us through to a point where you decided you wanted to be a part of things a little bit more.
So 2016 really had me thinking about. After I discovered the fandom, it really had me thinking about the charity aspect of it. I've always been, a nice guy. I always considered myself to be, pretty easy to get along with and stuff. And there was just such a lack of Ghostbusters in my life, like community-wise, that the idea of dressing up with 10 or 12 people just sounded so great. Mm-hmm. So eventually, in 2018, I bought my first flight suit, and with every intention of putting patches on it and trying to sign up to do something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I got to tell you this beforehand, I had every intention of trying out for the Windy City Ghostbusters.
Oh.
I had no idea what went into it or anything. I had seen a Facebook group. And I saw the parade. The parade was the thing that got me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there they are. I really want to try and do that. And the charity aspect, it seems so great.
Mm-hmm. There is, I love that the Ghostbusters are part of the parades, especially that Thanksgiving parade. And I haven't been able to do one, but it adds so much legitimacy, to the group. Because similar to you, I wasn't quite sure as I was researching, who everyone was, but like, there they are, the Chicago Thanksgiving parade. Mm-hmm. These people are legit. They know what they're doing. They seem to have themselves organized well. It is a huge get for our team to be a part of that every year.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Eventually we'd go on to have twins. And twins
congratulations.
Complicate things. They complicate things. Yeah. So the flight suit got put away, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't come out again until 2021.
Gotcha. And what happens in 2021?
2021 was the NYC premiere of Afterlife. So
gotcha.
I finally pulled the suit out, went to the tailor, got the patches put on it and everything. And I was off. First time I ever put it on was with a group of friends in New York.
Mm. And how is your wife as far as understanding your fandom and deciding to all of a sudden pull this suit back out of the closet?
You know what? She was okay with it. My wife is really supportive. Sometimes she can, you can probably tell she gets a little frustrated with all the Ghostbusters because it is a big part of my life.
Yeah.
But, you can see behind me, there's toys behind me. If I turned the camera, you'd see a hell of a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been really supportive, especially when it comes to the charity aspect. Even for our honeymoon or our anniversary that we took this year, 10-year anniversary, we went to Universal Studios. Thank you. During Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, fun.
And my wife and I had been together a total of 15 years and she's never once done a haunted house. She hates them. She doesn't like jump scares or everything because the time had synced up with our anniversary, where we were going and the fact that Ghostbusters was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
She went in there with me. She held on to me the whole time, and we got to do the Frozen Empire house. So she's pretty supportive of it.
That's great.
I'm sure I talk about it too much. I really do. But Don't we all? I mean,
yeah, I know I do. I will catch my wife occasionally just doing the head nod, and I'll question if she's even still listening. But
yep.
So tell us, now you're a Universal guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I'm a huge Disney fan. So it'll be majority, if I'm getting down to Florida, it'll be majority Disney. And if I can get a day or two out in Universal, I'll go. What's the appeal of Universal, you know, to you?
So,
and we, again, knowing when we grew up, was, man, nothing was cooler than some of those Universal commercials.
Yep. You see me right there. There's my Universal poster. One of them. And on this side of me right there is a map from the opening day.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm a Florida theme park guy. My parents took road trips from Chicago to Florida every year. And then as my brothers came, it became a little less and less. But I will never forget 90s Universal.
Mm-hmm.
It stood out more to me than any of the Disney stuff. They had the Ghostbusters attraction. Yeah, the Spooktacular.
I saw that. And
I actually took part in it when I was a kid.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, there was a segment where they would call a kid up and they would hold slime. They put a smock on you that kind of looked like a
jumpsuit. Lewis Tully would give a big kind of welcome to the Ghostbusters speech at the beginning for anyone that hasn't. There are some good YouTube videos of this.
Be a Ghostbuster. Spiel. Yep. The show. I mean, I held the slime, it dripped all over.
Oh, did you really?
Yep.
Very jealous.
You go, and then you exit through a store that's completely full of Kenner Ghostbuster toys and original park merchandise and stuff like that. And a lot of those memories like really held on there. And it's funny, when I started thinking about joining and stuff, the idea of Be a Ghostbuster and franchise options is a line in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
But in this ride, they took it to the next level. There's a whole marketing video about it, everything at the little spiel pre-ride show. So I thought it was always really cool. And the whole thing of ride the movies was always a good sell for me.
Yeah.
So to this day, I'm still a big Universal buff. My collection's been almost exclusively Ghostbusters, Universal things, and Disney. I was going to tell you, Disney has one half of this room and Ghostbusters is the other half.
So they're well represented.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Universal in the 90s. That my parents are, we took two trips down there in Florida in the 90s. The first time Universal was not part of it. We were, I think we were all just feeling fortunate to get to one of them, but man, the Jaws ride, the King Kong attraction, and the Back to the Future ride, I needed to ride those so bad. So we did. I make it there on trip two. We did Universal instead of Disney, but that stands out. And my big memory is the Ghostbusters attraction, being extremely jealous of the kid that got pulled up on stage with Lewis Tully to feel the slime and be a part of things, and then having the Ecto-1 parked out outside was, that was my favorite part of the entire vacation, was seeing that Ecto-1 there.
Yep. I've got a nice photo of my grandmother and myself in front of that Ecto. Mm-hmm. And you could tell how much they didn't care back then. There were kids on top of it on the roof.
Oh, rack. Were they really? I was afraid to touch it.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of just leaning back against it.
Now, was this Ecto-1A or their 84 Ecto?
This was their style of it.
That's the one I have. I never saw the 1A that I've, seen.
I can't remember if I saw 1A or not. I know I saw their 84 one, which was, not the most accurate one in the world, but it was awesome.
It was awesome. It was so cool to see that in person. So had to ask about that, as that Ghostbusters attraction has. James, did you ever make it to Universal to see that?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, that's something that's taken on kind of a mythic kind of fandom to some folks in the community.
Well, the fun thing is that a lot of it is still there. Well, not a lot of it. There's chunks that you can still see. The original firehouse entranceway is still there. It has a roller coaster going through it, and you can't actually go through it and the doors anymore. but it's still there. It has a little Easter egg on the door. Mm-hmm. The original library backdrop scene is one of the first things you see when you enter the park. There's just a long walkway street that you walk down. It's right there.
I'll have to keep my eyes peeled next time I go.
Yeah, a few years. Last time I went, when I went in 2008, there were still marks up on it from where the dancing used to be. Ghostbusters versus Beetlejuice and Great Frightways and all those good things. So it's I when we went this past October, I was dragging my wife like, this is where Jaws used to be, this is where King Kong was. Oh, patience.
Yes, and my wife is furious that she's missed out on the chance to go ride that Jaws attraction. That's one of her favorite movies. But that was Universal in the 90s. It was not, there wasn't much cooler to a kid than getting over to Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. So I totally understand your passion and fandom on that side. And so we get to 2021. I keep taking you off track.
You're fine.
But I want to hear about kind of the, you know, the birth of the idea of the Moogly Fan Club and how it kind of, you know, grew to become an organization that focuses on charity itself.
Okay. So the idea came because I didn't have the time to join a franchise. So the opportunity was, you know, not there, was busy with the kids and all that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to try and have some kind of impact on the community. I didn't have to be the biggest. I don't have to be the best. I just want to do something that I know can help.
Mm-hmm.
And the original idea for the club, which still, you know, happens now, is helping bring people into the fandom. That was a big thing for me when I first started. You know, there was a lot of people like me that didn't know that all of this world exists.
Mm-hmm.
Or we had a lot of dads who wanted to introduce their kids to the movie, the franchise, but didn't know where to begin. Do you think the movie's too scary? Should they watch the cartoon first? I really wanted to try and help people in a way that people didn't have to commit to anything. There's no charges for anything. There's no fees. There's no, you can print out a certificate and put it up on your wall. Your whole family can print them up and put them on the wall. You know, I wanted something fun and free that I could devote some time to with the schedule that I had.
Yeah.
And eventually it kind of took on. We do activity sheets, word searches, mazes, word scrambles. We have the Draw Moogly contest every year and for adults and kids. And I see some amazing creativity coming out of both of the adults and the kids. We do have our charity effort at the end of the year. Over the last 3 years, between our charity raffles that we had, we've raised $2,425.
That's incredible.
Which I think is great for, you know, the fact that we only have one event a year devoted to that. I try to be as understanding as I can with everybody. I don't want to put pressure on people. You know, a lot of people in that are followers of the page are already in franchises and they're doing their own charity work. They're raising their funds. They're donating to their causes. So I like to just be as open as possible, which actually gave us the charity raffle was my big idea at the time. We collected patches and pins and coins and stickers and business cards from franchises all over the world. It was a way to have an instant collection and familiarize yourself with this world that you might not even know existed. And when I'll never forget when I went to the Afterlife premiere, the reception that I was getting from people, the openness. You know, I was walking around with trading cards at the time, you know, telling people, hey, come take a look at what we're doing, free activities. We're doing a charity raffle if you want to donate. And how many people would just reach into the bag and pull out a patch and say, add this to the pile.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. And I like the idea of bringing the community together. We have a lot of instances where there's sides. And if, I think if we, you know, mend things here and there or find that common ground, it makes this community even better than it already is.
Yeah. And I'll say I've been a part of the community now, you know, close to 2 years. I feel like, you know, when you talk about sides, there is a louder minority that can cause that. And overwhelmingly, it's such a great inclusive community, and that's been my experience, you know, 99.9% of the time since I've been a part of things. And it's you know, and I want to commend you, Eric, on something that I struggle with, and it's what I try and strive for, is just you took the initiative. You saw a void that you wanted to fill, partly within yourself, but also just out in the community. And instead of looking around for what somebody else can do, you just created it. And you're a doer and a creator. And that's something that, you know, as I, you know, me and my, I always use my ADD as a crutch on some of this stuff, but it's something I strive to be better at, and being an initiator. And so I want to just, commend you on that, and getting started from nothing to be a big part of this this community. So it's so fun to kind of see, you know, what you're doing, and you know, you just threw out another word search today or yesterday today. And it was today.
Anybody that fills it out and puts it in the comments, you know, we have, it's funny because the patch that we have that was, you know, accidentally placed there, of course. I get, I don't know how many messages, where can we buy your patch? Where can we buy your patch? And I don't sell patches. You know, mm-hmm. I'm very big about making sure that charity money goes to where it's supposed to be and all of that, and how it should be handled properly.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we give away a patch, it is through an activity or a game or mm-hmm. something like that. And I'll send them out to people and everything. And, you know, we run a lot of our bigger prizes are actually donated by the community. I go out and, you know, I'll raid Amazon when Funko Pops are $3 a piece.
Sure.
I'll pick up more prizes and stuff, but we've had some pretty generous folks over the last few years, and it's been amazing.
And go over what you're doing this year, as long as we're kind of talking about that, kind of talk about your end of the year, you know, push how folks can help out your cause.
So this year we're doing something different. We're having two charity auctions, both for items that you probably won't find anywhere else. The first one is really special to me. It's for a lot of four challenge coins, Ghostbusters themed challenge coins, one from the NYC Afterlife premiere, the Frozen Empire premiere, you know, done by myself, GB fans, and yes, have some.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghostbusters Day 2024 coin that was given out this year at NYC for the fan event, and Hook and Ladder 8's challenge coin. Nice. I don't know if you know this or not, but I am a patch and pin and coin designer in the community. That's really how I got started before the clubs became a thing. But I'm actually the designer of all four of these coins.
Very cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that you had a hand on all four of those.
Yeah. I designed the Afterlife one, the Frozen Empire one, the Ghostbusters Day one, along with, you know, the teams, and then Hook and Ladder 8 as well. So it means I've been holding on to these coins with the sole purpose of something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen these coins show up on eBay before. They've made whoever sold them enough, you know, a good amount of money. And I always wanted to put them to good use. So this year we had the opportunity. So the first auction is all four coins and the club patch. And I've got some other small stuff I'm going to throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the second auction is for a unique piece. It's a Ghostbusters Day 2024 poster signed by every guest that was in attendance. Now, when I say that, I don't mean just mean the guests that were slated to appear that day. It's also the guests that actually showed up to actually attend the event by themselves. So the poster contains, the poster contains signatures from both the Lessie brothers, John Rothman, as we know as the head librarian. Joe Cirillo, the cop who tags along with Beck. You're also going to get AC Martin, who was Phoebe's star, Mechanic Race's stunt
double. Empire.
And you'll get Adam Murray's as well, from the end credits scene in Frozen Empire, the truck driver. I think that was everybody. So this poster was not available anywhere else. It was something that I thought of last minute right before the event. It's signed, all the 84 cast is signed in red. All the Frozen Empire guests are signed in blue. It's bright. It's going to look amazing when it's framed, whoever wants to frame it. But this is your chance to get something that either commemorate. Maybe you were at the event and you wanted to commemorate it. Maybe you didn't get a chance to get the autographs because the lines were so big. Or even with the coins, if you got a chance to miss out on them. But I was holding on to these guys to really do some good. And so far, so good. You know, I want to thank the Buffalo Ghostbusters real quick for hosting the auctions for me on their platform, similar one they use for Ghostbusters Day, to make sure that once again I can maintain that I'm not some guy taking your money.
Right.
You know,
this, this well, is go into platform. How people can take part in the auctions.
So right now, if you visit the Moogly Fan Club on Facebook or on Instagram, you'll find links to our charity auctions. And then that'll give you some more information. If anybody ever has any questions, please feel free to message the club. I'll answer as quickly as possible. I want everyone to feel as comfortable as they can when they're bidding. But you know, I just want to say, know that every item that you're getting is coming from a place of love and just passion.
That's awesome. You're so, you're doing great things. And I saw you posted some great close-up pictures of the of the coins. I haven't seen the poster yet, so I'm going to go back. If you've got, if you have that posted on your page, I'll have to go back and take a look at that one too. But everything looks great, and you know, you touched on it, and we haven't gotten to it here, and I want to make sure we at least you know, bring it up a little bit more. What is your background with design? Because you've got all these great pins that are on the GB Fans shop, so and you have a hand in design on most of those, all of those, or
a good chunk of them.
Yeah, what is your background?
So
to do that,
I've been a graphic designer since I graduated high school. So almost, I graduated in 2005, and I think 2006 or 2007 was when I actually started doing it professionally. Patches and pins didn't really come about until 2018. I had done my first patch, which was a Universal Studios tribute patch. It was, ironically, there was a nice circle that happened to this. Yes Have Some had posted a video, the original ride video that had the promo in it, that, you know, be a Ghostbuster, all the little spiel. So I found that, took a screenshot of it, redrew it, and turned it into the style of the vintage Universal logo, the neon and all that.
Yeah,
and that was my first patch. Later, I went on to do a Disney crossover with Moogly wearing a set of Mickey ears eating a Mickey bar. and one of my first actual franchise jobs was actually doing the first coin for Hook and Ladder 8. A lot of people don't know this.
Yeah, how long have they been doing that?
So their actual coins have been only around for a couple of years. But prior to that, there was an initiative between myself and Crystal Bass Monroe, my patch partner, her and I have, you know, done it all together since the beginning, to raise funds for Hook and Ladder 8. So it was a fan-made run where every time we sold a coin, one was donated to the house. So it was also very super limited. Eventually, unfortunately, somebody took the art and started making bootlegs of them, which is, you know, warning, most of the ones on eBay are fake. If it doesn't have the firehouse on it, it's fake, probably. So eventually that's what led them to ask us to do the other coin. So, and I've done probably, I think I last time I checked, I'm over 100 different logos for franchises, patch designs, pin designs, franchise logos since 2018.
Wow.
So I love the opportunity. I love the character.
Yeah.
The idea to put him in so many different variants is, it's like clay. You mold him into something new, and it's that right. identity, which is one of the reasons why I eventually had the patch raffles. Mm-hmm. I just loved how people were trading them, selling them for charity, all that good stuff.
So such an identifiable look and face there, but it's, you know, I've got just the utmost respect for how you've been able to put everything together and build a brand that is so focused on, you know, helping the Ghostbusters community and, you know, raising money for the community at large, and Feeding America is a charity that yes. that you're focused on, and yes. that's a great one. That's you know, a cause that you know, I think so important to look at ways to help the people in your own backyard.
Yes.
And to not over, you know, not look over, you know, the need that's kind of right in front of you, and Feeding America definitely helps out with that. So you know, Eric, we're coming right up on time here, but I can't thank you enough for the generosity that you've shown us with your time today and sharing your story and helping our audience become more familiar with what you're doing. And if you want, I'd want to give you just a last chance to plug again your kind of end of year you know, raffle and how folks can help out.
Yep. Once again, if you are interested in viewing the auctions or taking a bid or even just sharing them, I appreciate likes, shares, comments, reactions. I love it all. If you get a chance, visit the Moogly Fan Club on Facebook. The links are right there to share and, you know, do all that great stuff I just said. The auctions are going to end at, I believe, 8 p.m. on December 15th. So next Sunday, so you have some opportunity. So if you get a chance, check it out. And again, we're hosting a word search contest right now. If you go in there, fill it out and put it in the comments, you have a chance to win yourself a free patch. And if you like free stuff, I'm always giving away things. So you get it, you know, check out the club. We're always having a lot of fun. It's always a low pressure situation. You know, I always tell myself, I don't want to be the biggest in the community. I don't want to be the best. I just want to do my part.
Yeah. You're doing great. And if you're not a part of the Moogly Fan Club, go over there and follow them, like them, be a part of things. It's great, and always puts a smile on my face when I see something new coming out from you, Eric, over there. And so, you know, we are right at time, and want to thank Eric again for coming out. Check out the Moogly Fan Club on Facebook, and also want a quick plug our very own Bob Anderson, Bob After Dark. He's probably currently broadcasting. So if you're watching us right now, hop on over to take a look at Bob's stream. Today he's actually putting together Flatwoods Monster Model Kit. So it's going to be a lot of fun watching Bob do that. And if we're lucky, we'll watch him get frustrated at something, which is always fun to watch frustrated Bob. But head on over to Bob's channel on Twitch, Bob Anderson, Bob After Dark, and take a look at that.
It's Bob After Dark Plays on Twitch.
Bob After Dark Plays on Twitch. Thank you, James.
And we'll be rating him. So anybody on Twitch will get kicked over to that too. So
perfect. Perfect.
Awesome.
Well, James, thank you for your help today, pulling this all together. Eric, thank you for your time. And on behalf of the Windy City Ghostbusters, we appreciate everybody joining us today, following along on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. But also, if you're listening to us on one of the major podcasting platforms, thank you so much. Hit subscribe, rate us, like us, and help more people find us in their algorithm. So thank you very much. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Just going to do my John Candy end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles Frozen smile.
Hey
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.